Before I would like to open up this presentation to the audience, I would like to raise one question first myself. I think what all these presentations or the projects discussed have in common, maybe besides the distrust in political models based on representation, is that they are based on archive or somehow use historical materials that are usually assessed through archives. And I would just be interested to hear from you about how you conceive the format of the archive for your projects, because I think there are quite different approaches also in the band.
So in the same sequence? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the first.
Okay. I can try to answer that. I think there was one interview with or session with an actor who was actually a little bit involved with anarchism from some years. And he said the one thing I really don't understand about anarchists is their obsession with collecting material. It's true. Books, pamphlets, posters. It's something that's kind of within the movement more than any other movement that I know. This is probably also the reason why this collection of letters still exists. For me, the archive was there. I didn't make an archive, I didn't collect. I'm really an really bad collector. I don't even have books or records or collection. But I used it as a starting point to kind of pick things from. So I use it as a source. I'm actually somebody who used the archive instead of making one.
I have to say I cheated, I saw the question. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm bloody glad because otherwise I wouldn't have had a single answer. I mean, in some ways it is an archive. It's a piece of propaganda as well for us, clearly, to give people hope. And it seems to be working. It's completely sold out in France. It's going to paperback. And it touches many different generations, many different subjectivities, which is really interesting. So we've had invites from the Rouen Public Library, our municipal library. Their readers are reading it. We're like really normal people who go to public libraries and read it. Same time, we get invites to go and present it at the Anarchist Federation Anti-Nationalist Day and the punk concerts in a local village. So in a way, the fact that this archive has touched different subjects is really important for us. But actually, it's a holiday in representation for us. Archives, in a way, are representation. I'll speak for myself, as to hear, but in a way, there's no time for archiving. The only archive that right now I think is really important to be saving is the archive of the ecology that is around us. It's an archive that we can learn so much from, and yet we only know 10% of the species on this planet, and we're right now in the sixth extinction. We're right now in the Anthropocene, the only geological moment of extinction that's ever been created by humans, or rather created by capital. So in a way, I think most of our work now is trying to stop creating new forms of life that can be separate from the state, can be self-organized, and actually can create forms of life that actually stop that incredible archive from disappearing, and thus us disappearing, and then we return to kind of 25 million years ago, which is okay because it takes 25 million years to redevelop biodiversity after most of these extinctions.
In the case of my project, there's not really an already formed archive, but I think of the archival materials that are meaning like documents that are dispersed as a way of activating a current dialogue. And part of the documents that are not necessarily there in some cases have to do with also the need of addressing the experience of people who live them, and that doesn't mean making like the history or any narrative of it, but rather a way of addressing as a contemporary discussion. So in a way there's no archive as an actual source, and I'm neither trying to make it and kind of create the register of these experiences, but to think of what out of the way they can be addressed today can be of interest to rethink sort of a different models.
But from my point of view, is really an important model, not only for the disobedience project, because I think also on the way of database and internet, of course, is something very appropriate to our way to conceive knowledge, etc. But anyway, in relation to disobedience archive, I like the idea of Michel Foucault. So the archive is something not in which you conserve something, but is the model able to assemble different material, heterogeneous material. And at the same time, what I like of the idea of the archive is the possibility to create a very contingent platform. And so without an order pre-codified, but something that you can construct and you can disarticulate in different ways, and every time you can change in different weight and context, etc. So is something so connected to our post-war contemporaneity.
Yeah, I don't feel I have very much to add. It's a bit, I very much don't see a project like an archival project, because the film really is in the tradition of utopian literature, so it actually puts a fictional dimension into it, and in that sense, I think offers also a different space, a different way for the projects themselves to reflect back to us. And I think the project of an archive, it seems to me, is very different from that, because it really tries to take a picture of a moment, which is not a film, what we try to do, because it seems to me that our project was very much about looking at these moments and these places as being very dynamic and unfixed. So, yeah, I don't relate to the notion of archive very much.
Okay, thanks. So, I think we'll open up now the panel for discussions, and we will collect two or three questions again, and then leave it here to the panel what to address. Gerald.
Thanks for the great panel. At least for me, it's been one of the highlights. But to not become too congratulatory, I would like to start from a critical point, not criticizing all the wonderful inputs, but putting on the critical or problematic aspect. Of course, it's about finding, forming, inventing new forms of life. But what about the moment when the wonderful openness becomes closure, when the machines become state apparatuses? What about...
No, the machine becomes...
State apparatuses. State apparatuses. One possible reaction would be like Ivan Ilyich's reaction, obviously closing down the institution. Quite a strong thing, because to close your own institution down is quite a strong thing. But maybe this is too easy to stick with this possibility as only one. There are, of course, a lot of experiences in history, also bad experiences here in Austria, especially Otto Mühl, who is famous for that. But my question would be just to share your ideas, also because there are people, at least John and Isabel, who are trying to do it practically. So maybe you could...
What is the question?
The question is really what to do when the war machine or the wonderful, open, anarchic community becomes a state apparatus institution or becomes institutionalized. What to do against that, maybe even in advance, but also at the point it becomes that.
Thanks. Is there another question? Yeah.
Hi, my question would be in terms of these new forms of life, like we do research them to fight some bad performances of humans, like exploitation and just destroying nature and all of these things. But the point is for me that there are also positive performances of humanity which involves global interactions. Like having a computer to do this, or technique to do this wonderful presentation or discussion here, but which also we all know comes with blood from some mines in Africa or somewhere else. But how do you approach like this need, which I mean I have it, maybe you have it too, this need to continue with these positive performances of humanity without the ugly institution.
One more? No, sorry.
Thank you for the panel. I was really glad to hear, I think it's like probably the first time, a very important issue that I find very important issue in regards to art and politics and activism and art, and that is the relation between representation and autonomy, as you were framing it. And precisely, I'm thinking about the crisis of representation that we live today in politics, and which is really crushing. And that I feel it's like there's a mirror in art also. You have also this type of crisis of representation. What who does art represent? Like contemporary art, like political, like critical art. Who does it represent? Who does it? It speaks in the name of whom? And in regards to that, I just want to hear your views on that.
Okay, I think we. Who wants to start? I think it's already, we could talk already 2 days, I think.
Yeah, so maybe you can repeat the question.
Well, the first one is how to hinder that utopia becomes a dystopia, right? Maybe. And whom does the political art address? And the one over there, can someone
have
it
the
was about, well, you do it. I interpreted that as a question about the strategy of withdrawal. Like, you're always an accomplice, so why are we even using the system that we're trying to abolish,
or
right?
In the terms of organizing globally, to still have big relationships all the world,
like in how to organize with people in other continents, how to like we have a distribution of resources all over the world, which could be very useful if we share it as a world, as a humanity. And this organizational problem is for me is a big question, because in a small community I can imagine how it works, but at this level, I simply yeah, I'd like to know how you approach it. If you like to don't have any of this sort of relation in this big picture, or like all small communities, or is there one approach or some approaches from you to suggestions, solutions, something?
Who wants to start?
Solutions? No, I don't have that. Sorry, I forgot it. Maybe to start with the notion of the crisis of representation. When I hear that, I always get the impression that somehow there's an assumption that it has worked at some point and that now it's in crisis. In my view, the system of political representation has never worked. It's a myth that at some point it was democratic and it no longer is. It's that I think that, in essence, the notion of representation in politics as we've been presenting it it's a myth. And that the question of, in art, who does it represent, it's always been a question. So I'm not sure that these questions are more relevant today than they ever were, and that's why, for me, the question of politics and art is about directness and not presenting as an artistic artist, not presenting but actually engaging. That's one of the things. What to do when it goes wrong, how to avoid it to go wrong.
It's not about going wrong, it's about closure, institutionalizing, when you have ideals of being open and anarchist.
It's about avoiding getting there for me, rather than actually taking for granted that it's unavoidably going to get there, and we're going to have to deal with the closure and this. And it's about, it might sound really lame and vain, but it's about being really reflective and actually having systems within your organization at whatever level to have checks in place so that you don't find yourself in a situation where you have become institutionalized. And for me, it's about also letting go of a lot of cultural capital, as we've been talking before, and of a lot of ego and a lot of, it's stripping away a lot of the things that make us institutionalized easily, and that is the real challenge. So, and as for the question about the scale and the organization globally, and that's one of the things that I learned through this project, is that the very notion of scale needs to be rethought. And this idea that we want to be able to see something working on a small scale as a beginning, but how is it going to work on a big scale, is the wrong way of going about it. And it's much more about how do we actually network and federalize and find ways of communicating, so that we don't have to think everything on the large scale, because the large scale organizations really have shown their limits. Instead, how do we keep networking with an ecological framework is a very big question. Instead, how do we have this kind of meeting without having hundreds of people flying and having massive emissions? How do we keep networking without having mega cooling systems for the internet providers, etc. So these are really big questions, but I think that they're different kind of questions from the question of scale.
Can I just say something more in general? All these three questions are questions that come up in the letters that were written in the mid-90s. None of these questions are new, and that was very typical. Whenever you talk about anarchism, it's like, what if it goes wrong? But how are you an accomplice in the system, and you cannot be pure? It's always kind of almost like a contest of being pure in your idea. So who's more consistent in a way? these are questions that come up always, and that I always find also a really good source of humor, because they keep returning and they can never be answered completely. As for art, I think I hope that the way I worked on this film, and also the work in itself, honors sort of the legacy of the person that holds the archive. And that was an inspiration in the sense that to call Max Kruger, the size of everything was a human size. So I like this idea also of not trying to blow everything into kind of universal proportions. As an artist, I think mostly you start with yourself and then kind of use yourself as a measure for something else, as eccentric as it sounds. I think that's how most art starts somehow. And anarchism is one of the few sort of political theories that can actually hold that thought as well. And that's why I still find it a super useful source to work from. And something that has also grown on me, something that can stretch from a very small question when you're very young to kind of larger ones over the years. Also, I don't think we don't sit here as a panel of anarchists. I think that we have to, I don't know if we want to sort of link our affiliations somehow, but that would be a little bit too flat, I think, to quote, to say.
In terms of the question of what to do with institutionalization and with the sort of unavoidable possibility of reaching closure, then I think that that question is precisely what's kind of motivating the project that I've started, and it's and for me it's really important to understand how others have dealt with it, and not as a way of sort of trying to grasp it to get any formulas in order not to get there, because I do think that every community generates responses and maybe not a model, but strategies that are based on their very specific needs and conditions as well. So to me, reassess these initiatives, it's not, again, to extract a formula or a model, but to try to understand how this process happened to them and what kind of learning they brought out of it. And I do see that as an actual resource, as a kind of learning experience. And I think that that tension of trying to do something and knowing that you're gonna get there anyway, it's what like I started with, and I'm trying to see how others learn from their own initiatives in a way. And this relates in a way to the sense of scale. I would say that it's very basic, but I needed to start with my own experience of having grown and with a kind of utopian dream of another generation that I wasn't asked about necessarily, but that I lived, and also with a kind of balance of that experience and what I think is valuable about it. And also not making it self-referential, but to see that same contradiction happening in different people around me and different initiatives that are trying to respond to it. So I don't know, it's just a very kind of like immediate starting point rather than trying to reach any sort of expansion. The kind of contradiction question kind of invites me to think that in that attempt of creating something and not reaching the wrong way, but the kind of already known closure, there it's a productive sort of tension or space rather than to expand it. So that was the
Okay. This idea of openness and becoming closed. I mean, I think one of the things I found most confusing about Occupy was its radical openness. I mean, it was more open than any anarchist openness I'd ever seen. It was more diverse, and that was its beauty and its absolute nightmare as well. So I think, you know, there's something really interesting about that. in terms of our project, the other problem with institutionalizing, well, with closeness and institutionalizing, is also kind of the recuperation by capital of these experiments, that these experiments become laboratories for new forms of capital. And especially within the art world, I mean, I think the art world is a window mostly for, especially the kind of activist art world and the green ecological art world, are fantastic windows, shop windows for being recuperated for new ideas into capital. And I think for us, we have to say yes and no all the time. I mean, what happened in the 70s is very clear. There were two kind of movements. There was the fight at the of the 60s, there were the street fighters, and then there were the utopianists. And so the utopianists all went and built their beautiful utopian communes, had a better life, lived longer. The street fighters burnt out, became drug addicts, and what happened is the utopians forgot who they were fighting against. They forgot their enemy. They kind of became closed and therefore were easily recuperated. Silicon Valley is the classic example by capital. So for us, it's really important to constantly have the yes and the no, that, you know, all these experiments have to be experiments of new forms of life and new forms of resistance. And as soon as they stop saying, and as soon as they stop the due forms of resistance, then the war machine becomes a machine of capital.
I think we are running out of time, but Marco, would you like to do some final remarks?
The word about the idea of the institutionalization of this kind of practices. I think the word institution is not the right noun for this kind of practices and for this contemporary reality. I prefer to use another term, that they can be captured from the capitalist system. That is completely different. The word institution, the term institution, is something that is in a closer relationship to the idea of representation. And this kind of practices refuse the idea of representation, the delegation, etc., etc. But the capitalistic system so able to capture, to canalize this kind of activity. But this is another kind of problem. We can open this discussion, but it's another kind of a problem. The same is with contemporary art at the moment, is under a situation very dangerous, but it's a captured and canalized in a true form of exploitation, etc., but it's not a true form of institutionalization. And regarding the question about the idea of representation in politics and art, it's true there is a close connection, and to represent means to delegate something to somebody else. And this is true in art, and this is true in contemporary art practices, certain form of art. Practices this we explained today, and I think when we talk about contemporary art, it's important to focus on the form of production, of distribution, etc. Not the content, not the shape, but we have to talk also in this case of another kind of problems and questions.
So thank you. I'm afraid some of this. Questions would already lead to further questions and to a nice discussion, but I think we have to move this discussion to the bar. So I would like to close the panel now. I would like to thank Carlos Motta for this wonderful collaboration on the panel and also on the exhibition that I would like to remind will open on Saturday at noon. At Rotor, and I would like to thank all the speakers for their participation in this panel, and I would also like to thank the audience.
Thank you.